I'm Nancy Grace, and you are listening to the Triumph Channel, SiriusXM 132.
A gorgeous young bride-to-be who just broke open the piggy bank to order a handmade $10,000 wedding dress. Shot dead in her own front yard, her parents inside the home, after a Sunday evening at the ice cream parlor. What happened? In the very latest, hold on to your hat, a police chief has been put on leave, kicked out, escorted out of police headquarters in the middle of this young and gorgeous teacher's homicide investigation. And that's not all. Police personnel falling one by one. But why, and are we any closer to solving the mystery as to who murdered Rachel Del Tondo? In the middle of all this police fatality, one after the next being suspended, fired, put on leave, you name it, we search for the truth. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Well, it all started right here where Rachel Del Tondo, with stars in her eyes, planned to marry. Take a listen to this.
When Rachel got engaged, Mom took over planning a big-time wedding, including a nearly $10,000 gown to be handmade by a New York designer.
It was a custom dress. It had to be made to her measurements.
The family put down a deposit of more than $4,000. That, according to the contract, was non-refundable and non-transferable under any circumstances. They bought the dress at Ann Gregory for the bride in Dormont. Rachel Del Tondo was measured. The family put down nearly half.
It's made to order.
Sure.
And there's no exchanges and blah, blah, blah. No refunds. I understood that.
4 months after the contract was signed, the wedding was called off. Lisa Del Tondo called the New York designer to see if they had started on the dress and asked for a refund.
I called New York. I did.
Yeah.
He told me it couldn't be done.
Now, amidst all this wedding dress confusion, and I'll circle back to a $10,000 wedding dress that really stretched the family budget, but that's what everybody wanted, the fairy tale wedding. Then her death. Listen.
It's shameful that this woman was painted with a police report that had been written that did not result in criminal charges.
So was she?
It was a personal vendetta against her at the time.
Joining me right now, John Paul Vranesevich, editor, reporter with the BeaverCountian.com. He initially published the police report that resulted in Del Tondo's firing, and he has been on the story since the very, very beginning. John Paul Vranesevich, thank you so much for being with us. It's hard to say let's start at the beginning in a story like this, but let's start at the beginning, then we'll circle back to why are all the cops getting fired over this? Start at the beginning, John Paul.
The beginning of the story when I covered it was late last year in October when I received an anonymous email that contained a leak from the Aliquippa Police Department of sensitive law enforcement database information related to Rachel Del Tondo. It was information from what we can in Pennsylvania call our JNet system, which is a justice net system that keeps information about individuals, information such as your driver's license data, that sort of data. It got leaked from the department.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Guys, again with me, the man who originally broke the story, John Paul Vranesevich with the BeaverCountian.com. John Paul, I recall in the district attorney's office and when I was a Fed, we had access to all sorts of private information. And I never really thought twice about it, John Paul. I mean, I never thought about, wow, I could copy this and leak it to somebody. I would just, you know, for instance, a bond hearing, right? I had a bond hearing in the afternoon. I'd race back and run an NCIC and a GCIC, in other words, a federal report and a state report on whoever was trying to get a bond. I'd print it off and run out of the office over to the courthouse. I never realized or even considered at my fingertips was the ability to destroy people's lives. But that's what happened here. I wasn't thinking, oh, this is a secure computer. Nobody can get this unless they've had a fingerprint and a lie detector and blah, blah, blah. But that's exactly what you're talking about, John Paul.
Yeah, along with that sensitive information, also included in the leak that I received was a copy of a police report related to an incident back in February of 2016 in which Rachel Del Tondo was discovered by Aliquippa police with a 17-year-old student at about 2 o'clock in the morning in a parked car in a parking lot.
Hold on, John Paul. I'm sorry, but, you know, every sentence you utter is like a tripwire. It's like a bomb blowing up. Guys, did you hear what John Paul just said? Karen Stark, joining me, renowned New York psychologist, you know, he just trips off his tongue, you know. But did you hear what he said? Before her engagement was broken, she's caught by cops in a car. There's nothing wrong with sitting in a car. But as I always say, Karen, nothing good happens after midnight. 2 a.m. in a car parked in a parking lot with a teen boy in the car. The car's turned off and the windows are all steamed up. That's not a good look, Karen Stark. And then her engagement is broken off.
Well, it's not just that it's a bad look, Nancy. Here is somebody who is in a position of authority, and she's with a 17-year-old in a parked car, a boy, and she's taking advantage of this particular child, if this allegation is true.
Now, hold on. Hold on just a moment. Hold your horses, Nelly. CrimeOnline.com reporter Ellen Killoran. Ellen, street name EK. Ellen, there was never any, not a suggestion. Everybody suggested it, but there was never any proof that she had any type of indecent relation. Let me just put it that way, since, you know, we're on Sirius XM 132, and I don't know if my twins might turn it on. There was never any proof that any relations were going on in the car. Isn't that true, Ellen?
That's correct. She and the boy were both questioned. They both said that they were just talking, that there was nothing going on, and they were both released. I have heard, and perhaps John can speak to this as well, that she had begged, even though she said there was nothing going on, she had begged no one to talk about it because she didn't want her fiancé to find out at the time. But she was never charged with any wrongdoing.
Is that true, John Paul?
I had talked to Rachel Del Tondo before her death, and she had denied saying that. But your reporter is correct that statement is in the police report from Aliquippa Police. But there's where we get another interesting turn. Although this incident happened in February of 2016, the police released both individuals. No one was charged at the time. They didn't enter a report into their system until a year later. Sometime around April and May of 2017 is when the Aliquippa police, for some reason, decided to write an incident report in their system about that night from a year prior.
I didn't know that, John Paul Vernesevich. With me from the BeaverCountian.com, John Paul Vernesevich. That is very odd, John Paul. Regarding police procedure. Now, that's the first time I've learned that particular fact, that they find her in the car. And I'm looking at her photo right now, and everybody on the program right now, Vincent Hill, Karen Stark, Ellen Killoran, John Paul Vernesevich, you know the photo. It's her with her hands on her hips. She looks like she's at a hotel. I think I see luggage in the background and a staircase, beautiful staircase. She's got on a gorgeous sequined mini dress. She's beautiful, big smile on her face. Obviously, it's some event. I didn't know, John Paul, that 1 year after this young teacher is caught in the car with a teen boy, that's when they file the report. Because, you know, John Paul, that's contrary to police procedure. So many times I would try to find cops that I had subpoenaed on various cases, and it would be 6 o'clock in the morning, John Paul, when I was trying to get everybody assembled at the courthouse for trial that day. They would still be at HQ filling out reports from the night before, exhausted. They would come in bleary-eyed and tired to testify in my trial and then go home and sleep. So they would stay, John Paul, and fill out those reports because that was their job. But here they waited a year. Here's my question. How soon after this report was filed on this secretly encrypted computer, JNet, was it leaked?
So the report was created in April or May of 2017 about the incident from February of 2016. And then it was leaked to me, several other media outlets, and her employer, the school where she worked, in October of last year, October of 2017.
Okay.
So about 5 months after they created the report. The leak that I received from the individual alleged that it was a cover-up and that the police had not followed proper procedure, as you noted, and that was the purported reason why this individual was leaking the information publicly. Shortly after the leak occurred, she was suspended from her teaching position pending an investigation about that incident that occurred at that point a year and a half earlier. And she was still on suspension from her position when she was murdered.
So they wait a year to file a report, which I did not know, which is highly, highly unusual. Then a few months after it's finally reported, it gets leaked, and John Paul Vernesevich is telling us the cover-up, is the cover-up that was exposed by leaking the report that they hadn't filed the report? Is that the big cover-up? What were they covering up and for who?
What the alleged cover-up was in the leak was that because of Rachel Del Tondo's relationships with certain individuals in the city and their relationships with the police department, as well as relationships that the boy that she was caught in a car with had with individuals in the town, that the police basically just washed their hands of the incident and didn't follow proper procedure. And that was the gist or the pretext for the leak.
What relationships? You left me hanging, John Paul. What relationships were so important they didn't file a report?
The information I have is that the young man who was found in the vehicle with Rachel Del Tondo is related to the mayor of the town. And Rachel Del Tondo's fiance, who is mentioned in the police report as Frank, who is Frank Catropa, ex-fiance. Now, Frank Catropa is a well-known businessman from the town and had been a significant donor to the police department. He had helped to acquire a SUV for them to use with their drug canine dog, among other things.
John Paul Vernesevich, I'm just letting this soak in. Alan, are you there? Did you hear that, what he just told us?
This is a twisted, bizarre case.
That's a bombshell.
Yeah.
I kept wondering why all the drama when they weren't even doing anything wrong that we can tell. As a matter of fact, she was apparently involved with somebody else related to this young boy. But they weren't even doing anything wrong. That's why I didn't understand the big drama about it. This teacher caught in the car 2 a.m. with a teen boy. Okay, it looks bad. But apparently nothing untoward occurred in there. So why the drama? And John Paul Vernesevich with the Beaver Cantonian just dropped a bomb on me. She's engaged to a super rich guy who has donated a lot to the police department. And the teen boy is a relative of the mayor. Well, the plot is thickening. I know you all hate it, Vincent Hill, private investigator, when I start quoting Shakespeare, but here it comes. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. It's all blown up in everybody's faces. Vincent Hill, private investigator, how many times have you seen cases that start, and it's just no more than a hill of beans, but by the end, the cover-up, everything blows up, and there are a lot of casualties.
Yeah, Nancy, something in the milk here is not clean. What I can tell you is I doubt this was a random act. I mean, we're looking at a town with one murder average per year, 8 robberies per year. So you're not looking at a high crime rate, 10,000 people in that small town. So this is someone that had a very particular vendetta against her, especially the way she was shot, how many times she was shot. And now that we hear that the kid she was in the car with is related to the mayor, the boyfriend had a lot of money. Ooh. There's something going on here, Nancy, when this all boils over.
Well, I'm telling you, Vincent, I feel like I have landed in a basket of snakes. Listen to this.
Having a meeting right now with all the detectives that are working on the case. As you know, this is an ongoing homicide investigation. We have an active group with the Pennsylvania State Police, the Beaver County Detective Bureau, and the Aliquippa Police Department working very hard together. It's very sad. You have a very quiet, a very quaint neighborhood where this tragedy happened. We obviously regret this, have prayers and sympathies for the families. The Aliquippa name gets thrown out there a lot, and it should not. This was a very nice, quiet neighborhood, and to have this invade any family is sad. We're working hard to solve this problem together. The police departments of Beaver County worked very well together. We'll let you know as soon as we have more.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on SiriusXM Triumph 132.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-835-0176 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-835-0176 now. Again, that's 800-835-0176. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Did you know a recent law can leave your personal data exposed online for anybody to find? If you've turned on the news lately, you know the internet has created a dangerous new world. It's time you take back the power by using a new website called Truth Finder. Have you been issued a speeding ticket? Received a lien from the IRS? Did you forget about an embarrassing social media profile? That info may already be online. Truth Finder can help you find it. Truth Finder searches millions of public records, assembling the data together in one report. Members get unlimited searches, so you can also look up those close to you and make sure they're not hiding something. Visit truthfinder.com/Nancy. Enter your own name. Get started.
Results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wall & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wall has saved clients over $150 million. Many clients settle for a fraction of what is owed. With one call to Wall, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wall has a proven track record with total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation. 800-597-1356. That's 800-597-1356. 800-597-1356. 800-597-1356.
There's a brand new website causing a lot of trouble for people with something to hide. Have you ever had a bad feeling about somebody? Maybe suspected your partner's cheating? Maybe worried about your online reputation? If you answer yes to any of those questions, you may need Truth Finder. Public records are only recently easily available online. Before websites like Truth Finder, you'd most likely have to visit a courthouse to get that information. Now, it's as simple as entering a name. Truth Finder sifts through millions of public records from all over the country, assembling them into one easy-to-read report. Search the names of somebody you know. You could find criminal and arrest records, bankruptcies, contact information, social, dating profiles, financial assets, and a lot more. Why fork out thousands to a private investigator when you can do the job yourself? Everybody you know has something to hide. Now you can root out the most dangerous people before you become the next victim. It's not just used to bust bad people. Truth Finder helps Americans reunite with friends, family, even people who served with them in the military. It's never been so easy to find the truth. Go to truthfinder.com/Nancy and enter any name to get started.
I'm Nancy Grace, and you are listening to the Triumph Channel, SiriusXM 132. Well, the plot is thickening in the murder of a gorgeous young school teacher, Rachel Del Tonda. Well, I thought the scenario had calmed down and assumed that investigations were being done
and we would soon have the answer. That is anything but the truth. As a matter of fact, in the last hours, police personnel are dropping like flies within the police department there in Elquippa, where Rachel was murdered. Why? With me, Vincent Hill private investigator, Karen Stark, renowned New York psychologist, crimeonline.com, investigative reporter, Ellen Killorn, and superstar editor and reporter with the BeaverCountian.com, who initially broke this story, John Paul Vranesevich. And boy, have I been wanting to talk to you. Now we are learning of an intricate series of connections between the teacher, the police department, the teen boy in her car at 2 a.m., and the mayor. No one is a suspect. Everyone is a suspect. No one is named a person of interest or a formal suspect now. Let's just put that out there. John Paul Vranesevich. So they wait a year to file the report. It gets filed. A couple of months later, someone with access to government-protected JNet leaks it. To whom is it leaked?
At this point, we do not know. What the Aliquippa police, well, the former Aliquippa police chief, Don Couch, had said was that the leak of the information, he dubbed that a quote-unquote clerical error. He refused to disclose who it was provided to. But
Who said that?
That was the former police chief, Donald Couch.
A clerical error. Wow, what a coinkydink, a coincidence. A clerical error, and it just happened to be leaked to the media and to, what, the fiancé, the rich fiancé?
We do not have confirmation that it was leaked to him at this point.
Thank you for correcting me. Go ahead.
After the report came out that this information had been leaked, the Pennsylvania State Police announced that they were launching a criminal investigation into the Aliquippa Police Department as a result of this leak. That investigation, as last I've heard, remains open. In March of this year, the Pennsylvania State Police executed a search warrant on the Aliquippa City Building as part of a grand jury investigation into the city and its police department, and that was according to State Police Lieutenant Eric Hermick at the time.
Wow. It's like Medusa. There are so many snakes coming out of this. It's like a multi-tentacled sea creature. It's going to be hard to know in which direction to go. As a matter of fact, the fact that there are so many potential suspects with motive to kill the young teacher on Mother's Day, shooting her dead in a targeted attack after she comes home from an ice cream parlor with friends that Sunday evening, Mother's Day, as a matter of fact, it could be anybody. Listen.
We're getting video cameras. We are downloading information. We are interviewing witnesses. We are doing everything we can.
We're investigating everyone that was driving around Aliquippa that night that was anywhere near this young lady's house.
John Paul, that evening, that night, that 2 a.m. incident that started the whole domino effect, no charges were ever leveled against Rachel Del Tondo, or the boy, of course. But after the report was leaked, the fiancé breaks up with her. She's stuck with this wedding dress, and they go on TV for a little, let me say, consumer help segment to try to get some of the money back. Listen.
Del Tondo says she told the local bridal salon she'd pay the balance and take delivery of the dress.
I wanted the gown so I could sell it.
Del Tondo says the salon never delivered the dress and refused to refund her money, so she took the owner to small claims court.
It says disposition default judgment for plaintiff.
Court papers indicate the salon owner did not appear for the hearing. As a result, he was ordered to pay the Del Tondos more than $4,600.
He had 30 days to write us a check or file an appeal.
And he did neither.
He did neither.
Salon owner Gregory Cherico. In an email, he told me, December got by me with two deaths in the family. We will be sending a certified check out to Del Tondo. Thanks for your efforts. His attorney sent us a letter stating, Mr. Cherico denies that Ann Gregory owed any money to Ms. Del Tondo as she was given the purchase contract. had an opportunity to review the terms of the contract, which unambiguously advised her that the custom order for her bridal gown could not be refunded.
So after this TV appearance, the whole town and more, the whole region, knows about the broken engagement, the $10,000 wedding dress, and what Rachel Del Tonda looks like. Then she's gunned down on Mother's Day, Sunday evening, in her parents' front yard. I have reason to believe, John Paul, that she was targeted, that someone was waiting for her to appear. They knew she was coming back in a vehicle. She had barely gotten out of the vehicle when she was gunned down, multiple gunshot wounds, still waiting to find out if they were at close range or not. What do we know about her murder specifically, John Paul? I know you have the very latest on the cops being fired and put on leave and under investigation, but I'm still hung up on her murder. Do we know if any of the shots were close range? What do we know about her autopsy?
Yeah, there's been no autopsy information released other than the coroner confirming that this was a homicide. She was shot multiple times, upwards of 10. And I am told from my law enforcement sources that it was at close range and that her she had positioned herself in what is being described to me by law enforcement in a defensive posture prior to being shot.
Did you say it was or was not at close range?
It was.
Vincent Hill, you know, you and I had speculated about that when it first happened, that we thought either it had to be like a sniper hit from somewhere in the bushes or at close range. This is not like a robbery because nothing was missing. It was not a sex attack, clearly. And now John Paul is stating that she was in a defensive posture. That could mean that there were bullet wounds on her arms or hands as she held her hands up to her face. At some point, very often, victims go down on the ground. They curl up in a ball like a fetal position. What does it say to you? You're the former cop, now private investigator.
Well, Nancy, it quite clearly tells me she saw it coming. So likely the shooter made sure Rachel knew she was there before those shots were fired. Because if she was shot in the back first, she likely wouldn't be in a defensive position. So she saw who did this. She knew who did this right before she died.
To John Paul Vranesevich with the BeaverCountyan.com, you wrote that an internal memo was circulated or was originated with the Aliquippa PD showing the department had been very critical of a Sergeant Watkins' behavior the night of Rachel's murder. What does that mean?
So one of the last people to see Rachel Del Tonda alive was one of her friends who was driving the vehicle that dropped her off back at home that night, who is a minor, so I've not named her, but she is the daughter of Sergeant Kenneth Watkins. So one of the last people to see Rachel alive is the daughter of the police
sergeant.
Okay,
wait. Okay. John Paul Vranesevich. It gets even more knotted up. So that night, the dead teacher is having ice cream with the police chief's daughter?
The sergeant's daughter.
Sergeant. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
This is Sergeant Kenneth Watkins' daughter that drops her off before the shooting. After the shooting occurred and police arrived, Sergeant Watkins was off duty that night. He shows up to the crime scene after it's been taped off along with his minor daughter. He brings her and they show up to the crime scene and he's off duty. And he, according to documents I've obtained drafted by a police captain, Seelock, he then dives underneath the police tape and potentially compromises the crime scene.
With his daughter. Okay. Now, the memo said something to the effect of showed no respect for the crime scene. What does that mean?
According to the memo, he was on more than one occasion ordered by on-duty officers not to go underneath the police tape into the crime scene area, and that he on more than one occasion went ahead and went underneath the crime scene tape into the crime scene. And the language used by the Captain Seelock at the time is he could have contaminated the crime scene, quote unquote.
Okay. Tell me what's happening now, John Paul, because we understand that police have been suspended, that they're under investigation. What's happening? Why are so many cops dropping like flies within the department?
All right, here's what I can tell you. We know that Sergeant Kenneth Watkins was placed on paid administrative leave because of his daughter's involvement as a witness in the case, is the official reason why. Internal memos showed that the then police chief wanted to take or wants to take disciplinary action for him disobeying on-duty officers and crossing the crime scene tape. After that incident, and this is now taking us to last Wednesday, the police chief at a council meeting, Chief Donald Couch, council voted unanimously to put him on a paid administrative suspension. There is conflicting information on the reason for that. The town solicitor, Myron Sandwich, says it is because of complaints from his fellow officers and it is a personnel issue. Councilman Matthew Modis from the town has said that he has firsthand information that the police chief is the subject of a state police investigation, and that is the rationale that he has publicly provided for his vote to suspend the chief. Council then appointed
an investigation, though, under investigation for what? Because of all this?
It appears to be unrelated to the Del Tondo matter. It appears to be part of a larger investigation into public corruption in the town. After his suspension, the council appoints then Assistant Chief Percival to become acting chief. Less than 48 hours after he is named acting chief, he is arrested by the Beaver County detectives and is charged with distributing sexually explicit materials to a minor. And that minor was the daughter of Sergeant Kenneth Watkins, the same girl who had dropped off Rachel Delton.
Oh, my stars. I need a flow chart for all of this. Let me ask you this. John Paul Vernesevich from the Beaver County and .com. Reports state that Del Tondo had told someone, had stated that she was going to testify before a grand jury as part of an investigation into the Aliquippa Police Department shortly before she was murdered. What do you know of that?
So that report originated from the defense attorney of the teenager that she had been found in the car with. My reporting contradicts that. I do not believe, based on everything that I've found, that she was, at least in the near term, going to testify before that grand jury. That being said, I have reported publicly since her murder that she was a confidential source for my publication related to corruption in the town, and that she had been interviewed on multiple occasions by the Pennsylvania State Police. And during those interviews, she did give statements related to alleged corruption in the town.
Wait a minute. She had been a source to you, a CI, a confidential informant?
She had been a confidential journalistic source for my investigative reporting into allegations of corruption in the town prior to her murder.
When you say corruption, what do you mean? What siphoning money? What?
I have, at this point, not publicly reported what the nature of her discussions with me or the state police were, and I am doing that partially at the request of law enforcement officials who tell me that those sorts of public discussions right now could in some ways hinder ongoing investigations. So out of respect for that, I have not yet publicly begun my reporting on those matters.
John Paul Vernesevich, please keep your head down. I'm telling you, this is a lot bigger than any of us imagined at the beginning. And I agree with Rachel Del Tondo's mother, who has recently renewed her calls to take the Aliquippa Police out of this investigation and bring in an outside agency to investigate the murder of her daughter. John Paul, Vincent, Karen, Ellen, thank you. The search for the truth in this girl's brutal murder goes on. Nancy Grace, Crime Stories, signing off. Goodbye, friend.